Blog Talk Radio.
Here of the Hard Hits show here on the Hard Hits Network, and a fine evening to everybody out there. A little bit after midnight, 12:32 to be exact, here in the New York area of Staten Island, the Forgotten Borough here. A nice fall night, if I must say so, and it's still technically summer. But the season's going to change very soon. So give it another week and we will be officially in fall. So how about that? We've made it to mid-September and it's good. It's a good thing, actually. Things are cooling off slowly but surely here in the New York area. And there is lots to get to, so let's get to it. This is a special edition here. It is the Harder Hits. What did I call this? The knockout, the pass out late night show, basically. Yeah, the pass out late night show. Why would I call it the pass out late night show? Why? Because I feel like I'm going to pass out? Maybe. Because I just feel pretty... I felt pretty tired all day. I don't know. I think it's my allergies. I just picked up some allergy med, which will probably help. Went to the CVS, saved a bunch of money, and hopefully the nasal spray that I picked up will help because I just felt drowsy lately. So, lots of stuff going on, certainly. We'll start off the Yankees. You know, for a long time, they were losing games left and right. They went from being a 16-6 team to 21-21, where they had even fallen behind the Blue Jays, and the Orioles were right on their heels. But they have turned it around, and now they've won 7 in a row. They took care of the Orioles, and they're taking care of the Blue Jays, and they're putting up lots of runs right now. So right now things are a lot better for the Yankees than they were, say, a week ago. And, well, I mean, it's better late than never because, look, not that they were going to miss the playoffs. They would have been in the playoffs anyway with this expanded format, but which they better not. They better not have this expanded format the next time, you know, when there is actually a real baseball season. That just can't be. But they do defeat, or I should say, they trounce the Blue Jays 13-2, and this is after they just put up 20 runs against them the night before with Davey Garcia. Garcia's been unbelievable. What a find. Only 20 years of age, and he shows so much maturity on the mound. Just seems to know how to pitch. You know, he doesn't throw 98. He throws about 95, but mixes in the changeup, the breaking ball, and just does a really good job. And right now, things are going well for the Yankees. DJ LeMahieu has been on fire. LeMahieu continues to rake the machine, as I like to call him. There are people call him the machine. I call him the machine. Le machine. As if it's like French or whatever. Three out of four with three RBIs and two home runs. Pair of dingers on a night where the Yankees just went. They scorched the Blue Jays. They absolutely destroyed them. How about the career night for Kyle Higashioka? Higgy was just terrific. Hit with the three home runs. Three home runs. The second straight game that he was the catcher. He caught Garcia the night before. And he batted, of course, ninth. He goes three out of four, three runs scored, and five RBIs. A three home run game for Higashioka. And Higgy last year recorded a two home run game. So this is the backup catcher. He's finally healthy. And who knows? He might become the catcher the way things are going off Gary Sanchez. But, you know, Sanchez did hit a bomb blowout win the night before, but he's not much of a catcher. I mean, I think that goes without saying. So you had Higashioka with the three home runs, LeMahieu with two home runs. Clint Frazier has just been terrific for the Yankees. He also went yard. His seventh of the season, and he's batting over 300, two out of three with two RBIs, caught a pair of walks. So he's over 300, seven home runs, 23 RBIs. Luke Voit, who hit two home runs the night before to take a major league lead, hit another home run. He hit one to Detroit, as John Sterling likes to say, and he has 19 home runs, and he's making a push for the MVP in this abbreviated season. So a lot of things finally going right. Giancarlo Stanton just returned off the DL yesterday. But now Aaron Judge was cleared to play, and he batted second behind LeMahieu. A slow start for Aaron Judge. Struck out three times, so struck out in his first three at-bats, 0-for-4. But it's all about timing. And you hope that Aaron Judge will be able to stay healthy. Probably a wise idea, Aaron Boone, replacing Judge with Mike Tauchman late, defensive replacement in a game. They won very comfortably, 13 runs and 14 hits. Hicks hit a home run the other day. He's still not hitting for much of an average, but he walks a ton. He's got over 30 walks now. Voit, as I said, hit another home run. Voit's been unbelievable this year, 19 home runs. What a performance by him, 45 RBIs. He certainly has been terrific. Gary Sanchez did get a hit, so that's two straight games that Gary Sanchez got a hit. And even Tyler Wade got a hit and had two runs scored. And Urshela had a second game back, had a hit in five at bats after I think he had a pair of hits the overnight. So, I mean, everything went right for the New York Yankees. You had Gerrit Cole on the mound. He was pretty terrific tonight. He didn't allow a hit until the sixth inning. Seven strong innings, one run on three hits, two walks, eight strikeouts for Gerrit Cole, who picks up his sixth win of the season, lowers his ERA to 3 on the nail. Loaisiga comes out of the bullpen, calls a scoreless inning. Nelson did give up a home run late to Joe Panik. Remember him? The ex-San Francisco Giant, well-traveled player. So played for the Mets last year. But he did get the final out, and the Yankees continue to roll. So things are going pretty well for this team right now. So they finally have started to figure it out, and it's a good thing, certainly. All right, there is about 48-plus minutes left here. Number is 516-531-9641. Lots to get to, so let's move on from that. A couple other things here really quick. The Marlins were winners tonight, 8-4, and they continue to be a surprise team. They just took care of the Phillies over the weekend in the big series. They're 25-22, and right now, they would be in the playoffs. They are in second place of the NL East, and Don Lenny has done a great job there. Sixto Sanchez is the real deal. He was the main piece they got back for JT Realmuto, and he pitches very well. They have a lot of no-name guys, this Marlins team, but these guys know how to pitch. Rogers got a little bit of a spot start, and a whole bunch of pitchers came in relief. Boxberger, Garcia, Kinsler, who's done the job closing games for them. Cooper hit a home run. Alfaro, remember him? He was the other part of the trade with the Phillies. He hasn't hit much this year. He hasn't been healthy, but he did hit two home runs today. Originally in the Cole Hamels trade with the Texas Rangers, drove in four tonight. Brian Anderson is a good third baseman, good defensive third baseman who can drive in some runs. The trade that they made for Starling Marte has worked out very well. Marte has been a very productive player. Gerrit Cooper is playing base for them and actually producing, so go figure. You know, you look at this team on paper, you're like, well, how could this team, you know, compete? But they don't allow a lot of runs. They seem to have this us-against-the-world mentality, and Don Mattingly's done a very good job. And if you don't allow a lot of runs, you pitch well, and you get timely hitting, guess what? You could be a competitive team, especially in a very abbreviated 60-game season. So they're 25 up and 22 down. So full credit to them. In terms of the Phillies and Mets, the Mets will just have been struggling mightily. Rallied from a 3-0 deficit tonight in a must-win game after losing the night before to the Phils. They rally from 3 down. Then they were down 4-3. And Girardi made the mistake of pulling Zach Wheeler. Wheeler was at 95 pitches. And that's the second time Girardi's done that to Zach Wheeler. And his bullpen is not exactly automatic. It's not that good to begin with. So big mistake by Girardi. J.D. Davis delivering a big hit. He had 3 RBIs. And the Mets would pull out the game in the ninth inning. Jimenez drove in a big run in that one. And they were able to get the victory as Diaz comes on, strikes out the side around one hit, and gets his 4th save. So the New York Mets, on a night where DeGrom had a little bit of an issue, he left after 2 innings. So who knows? Who knows what's going on there? Hopefully he'll be able to make his final 2 starts, but the Mets right now, they're still 5 games under .500. They're 22-27. The Phillies are 24-24. they still have to climb over a whole bunch of teams, and they have, what, 11 games to do it. So they play the finale against the Phillies tomorrow. So that's an important game for the Mets. The Mets basically need to basically go, they got 11 left, maybe 9-2. 9-2 would get them to 31 wins. 8-3 would get them to 30-30. So, but when you have teams like the Reds all of a sudden are winning games, and you have other teams, even the San Francisco Giants, they continue to win games, and just lost 3 in a row. But guess what? They're taking care of business tonight. They're up 9-3 against the Seattle Mariners. Awfully tough to see the Mets getting in the playoffs at this point. You pretty much know what's going on with the division. Chicago Cubs getting another great start from Yu Darvish. Even though they don't have a lot of good hitting, but with the exception of Hap, like, nobody really hits on that team. But they do hit home runs. Schwarber hits home runs. Baez will hit home runs, even though he's had a miserable year. Rizzo had home runs, but they're just not getting production. Chris Bryant's been hurt, and he's not doing much of anything. And Contreras is a solid, productive catcher behind the plate, but it's really been about Hap, who's having a breakout year in the outfield, and Jason Hayward, and they picked up Cameron Maven. That was a good pickup for them, so. And they're 29-20, and they continue to lead the NL Central. The Cards would be second right now. I think they're right at 500. Basically, it's the first and second place teams. They get into the playoffs, and then there's two wild cards, and there's no real advantage. So, when you're talking about best 2 out of 3 series, Dodgers and Padres battled. The Dodgers took 2 out of 3. They're still, so they're in first place by a few games now. Padres are the second place team. Cubs, the Cardinals right now. You have, of course, the Braves, even though they lost to the Orioles, but they continue to lead the NL East. And the Hamels did return and was a little bit spotty tonight. What helped if they had Mike Soroka that he's done for the season, obviously. A lot of offense being supplied by guys like Freddie Freeman, Ronald Acuna, and also Adam Duvall. He's had a great year, 15 home runs. So that's where you are there. And then you got teams like the Reds that are battling along with the San Francisco Giants and the Phillies. And these are all teams the Mets, you know, are hoping to jump over. So good luck trying to do that when you only have 11 games left. But they have a lot of ground to make up to happen. The American League, the Yankees have closed to within 3 games of the Rays after they lost the Washington Nationals today in extra innings, 4-2. The Rays are the first place team in the AL East, but guess what? The Yankees find themselves only 3 games out now, so they have picked it up. Is it too late to catch Tampa? Probably is, but the Yankees are finally playing better baseball, so we'll see what happens there. The AL Central continues to be an interesting division with the White Sox leading the way. I think they lost tonight, though, to the Twins. Twins actually gained the game on them. They got a 5-1 victory. The White Sox have been unbelievable. Jose Abreu's having a monster season. The season ended today. I would give Jose Abreu the MVP. I think he's been that good for the White Sox. And he's been a great player this year, hitting close to .330 with the 15 home runs and 49 RBIs. Very productive. Tim Anderson is another guy that's an MVP candidate. He's hitting .373. He's got about 8 or 9 home runs and plays good defense. So, and of course, Meadows certainly is producing for them. they just have an excellent lineup. That's what it comes down to. Toledo, he took the loss tonight. He didn't pitch that bad. Gave up 3 runs in 6 innings, but they were shut down tonight. It's the Twins, after losing the first 2, get a victory. Actually, I think they're 1-1, actually. No, actually, it was 2-1 because it is Wednesday. That's right. Nelson Cruz has had a big year for the Twins. Tonight it was Rosario and Buxton who went yard. It's a no. Yeah, Miguel Sano went yard. So that's who supplied the offense for them. The Indians have lost 7 in a row, but they'd probably be the first playoff team, you know, if not automatically in to get it. So that's your baseball story. We'll switch it up. We'll do a little bit of hockey. So you've got a Game 6 coming up later on Thursday night. The New York Islanders were able to force a Game 6 by virtue of their 2-1 win in double overtime. And that was a nail-biter, really. I mean, Travis team, they fell behind 3-1. Brandon Point had a great performance in his return after missing a game with an injury. And now really saying what the injury was, I can only suspect it was a lower body. And he scored a goal and assist in that game 4, which put the Lightning in the good position to be basically a game away from reaching the Stanley Cup Final, where the Dallas Stars are away. The Dallas Stars have been impressive all postseason. They don't blow you away, but they're a great forechecking team. They rely on Khudobin. He does a great job in that. They defend well in front of him. And when you have guys like John Klingberg and Miro Heiskanen, even Jamie Oleksiak, guess what? Stars are tough. They're a stingy team. And Khudobin continues to play well, and they're getting a lot of big goal scoring, high goal scoring for guys like Perry. Not Perry. Actually, Joe Pavelski. I'm thinking Pavelski. Pavelski has been clutch for them. Jamie Benn certainly picked it up against Vegas. How about that comeback that they had to finish off the Vegas Golden Knights? They were the favorites in that series. Many liked them to get to the Stanley Cup. It didn't happen. It didn't happen because Khudobin was magnificent. And because the Dallas Stars, they certainly got contributions at the key moments. Whether it was guys like Blake Coleman or, I'm thinking of the Tampa Lightning for a second, but it was basically whether it was Heiskanen or Klingberg who set up Garriana for the winner in overtime. Just a great job overall. But the Lightning, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Varlamov played extremely well for the Islanders to keep them alive in Game 5. Barzal was able to get an assist to pick up a point finally. But it was Jordan Eberle who played the hero. Even though the Islanders only had 24 shots, they still were able to get the victory. But the Lightning also were held down to 37, and they didn't get a lot of shots themselves. Goal overturned. A good challenge by Barry Trotz on her offside. An obvious offside. I don't know how the officials about that. Kucherov was denied of a possible series clincher in the second overtime. Mayfield was just able to get enough of a back check to force that Kucherov shot on a rebound of a plot shot wide or outside the post. So, in the shots in the first overtime before 4, there was really nothing to do there. The Lightning blew a 4-minute power play on a Beauvillier high stick. He high sticked Gert Sergachev, and he was bloody, had a bloody nose. It's always a lot better, more beneficial for a team, though, when the power play gets split up between 2 periods. Lightning's best chances actually came in the first 127, which was the remainder of regulation. And yeah, Tyler Johnson with a really good deflection of Evans shot that just missed, a couple other chances. And then the Islanders had another 223 to kill once they got to the extra session. And splitting it up, that helped the Islanders, I think. They had a little bit of time to recover and rest. They got some key clears. Some of our Lava made saves when he had to. And he was really good. Yeah, it's strange. There were only four shots apiece in the first, so eight shots in a 20-minute overtime. And the best chance came from Barzal. He was one-on-one with Vasilevsky, and Vasilevsky just denied him, thwarted him with his glove. And so that's the kind of overtime it was. Very tight checking, and it just felt the longer it went, it was going to go to the Islanders, even though the Lightning had most of the chances. They did. They had a lot of chances to win it, and Hevis Lava was the only goal on a really good play by Blake Coleman, and threw the puck off of Varlamov in a very tight spot, and Hevis was able to bury the rebound going short side with precision 4 minutes into the second period to tie the game up. The thing is that as good as the Lightning are, they're not as good. They're not the same team without Brayden Point. They're all at 2 without him in this series. They lost game 3. That was the game that Nelson scored the winner, and the Lightning came back from 3-1 down. And then Nelson from Beauvillier with a little over 3 minutes left, and then an empty netter by Pageau. And of course, in a game the Lightning played well enough to win the game. With the shots that I talked about, the Islanders were able to prevail. Is a big mistake by Kevin Shattenkirk. A really bad play, bad puck decision there on a face-off win. Decides to go for a slap shot. Took too much time and on it with the Islanders getting some pressure. And away goes Andreas Nilsson, the captain of the Islanders, the other way. And Eberle catches up to him in 2-on-1. And Sergachev is not able to break up the pass. And you always want to take that pass away. Give the goalie the shot. He wasn't able to. His slide still allowed Lee to get it across for Eberle. And he did the rest. And Eberle had some good chances in this game. And Eberle was ready for it. And he gets a huge goal. And it keeps the New York Islanders afloat. So now, yeah, you know all where the pressure is. It's all on the Lightning. It's all on the Lightning. Going into this game 6, if they can advance, they would face the Dallas Stars, who took care of the Vegas Golden Knights at 5. Who had that happen? They play a very tight checking style, and you have to give kudos to Khudobin, the defenseman led by Heiskanen and Klingberg, and guys like Jamie Benn and Joe Pavelski coming through for them, and Gurianov, who eliminated. Yeah, he did. He eliminated the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, I didn't think the Knights would lose in 5 games. And the Knights certainly probably played well enough to win, but it didn't matter. In the end, Khudobin was better. The Stars pulled out a huge comeback in the third period from 2 goals down. And that tells you a lot about the Dallas Stars and their character. I've talked about it before. But Rick Bowen's done a great job over there. So they're waiting. They're still waiting for a dance partner for the Stanley Cup final. We're going to find out a lot about the Lightning. We knew the Islanders wouldn't just go away easily. And even if they only scored 1 goal until the overtime, until the second overtime, they found a way to win. And the Lightning have all the pressure here. So we'll see. I mean, the Islanders are playing kind of loosey-goosey, but they do play that tight-checking style, and when it's not open ice, that's going to favor the New York Islanders. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens with this Game 6 later tonight. That could be seen on NBC Network. All right, so that's your home, basically, for the NHL. Now, other topics for tonight that I wanted to touch on. Let's do a little NFL. So you had the Jets, of course. They got humiliated by the Bills over the weekend in Week One. The Bills wound up winning. What was the score? 27-17. Honestly, I listened to the first half of this game. Had the radio on to broadcast. I like to listen to the games, so I listen to the Giants games. Yeah, I don't know. I like listening to the radio. So for the football, and the Jets were so bad in the first half. I think they had like three straight 3-and-outs, including one after a Josh Allen turnover. And what they call on a 3rd-and-9 play, they called a screen that went nowhere. Like, why would you throw a short screen against a fast Buffalo front? It just didn't make any sense. I mean, you're not going to pick up the first down that way. Darnold, he threw a very bad interception. Did not have a good game. But then the Jets don't have really surrounded them as much either. Their offensive line is kind of in flux. They lost Le'Veon Bell for probably at least 2-3 weeks. And their ex-receiver had a big touchdown in his debut elsewhere. I mean, it's Robbie Anderson I'm talking about. So, I don't know. They're just a really bad team. They fell behind 21-0. It could have been a lot worse if Josh Allen had the two miscues. He carried the ball way too much. This could have been really ugly. The Bills could have put up 40 points on them. And I thought they were going to. I thought it was going to be like 42-3. The Jets wound up taking advantage of some opportunities, but they were never in that game. The Bills are a very good team. And the Bills, that's my pick, of course, to win the AFC East. I know the Patriots have Cam Newton, but I like the Bills. I like what they have on their roster. And I think they're going to be pretty tough this year. So this week they do have a game at the Dolphins against Flores, who's a good coach. It's Fitzpatrick. So last week he was Fitztragic, throwing 3 interceptions. When he's good, he's Fitzmagic. I don't know what to expect. Patriots, he was bad. They lost 21-11 against Cam Newton, who made his debut for Bill Belichick. Yeah, on the same weekend that Tom Brady debuted with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I just can't imagine how strange that looked. Had to look pretty crazy. And Brady threw a pick six, and after getting off to a good start, struggled. So the Bucs were pretty big losers to the Saints. So, you know, it's going to be, I'm very curious to follow what will happen there with the Bucs and with the Patriots. I like the Bills in that division. I think the Bills are the best team in that division, and I expect them to be pretty good. The Dolphins will probably play them tough, so we'll see what happens. As far as the New York Giants go, you know, they didn't play a bad game by any stretch on Monday night against the Steelers. They were in the game, but you can't make the mistakes that Daniel Jones made. A couple of times, a couple of throwaways. And those throwaways always keep, you know, they come back to bite you. She made a couple of huge mistakes with those that got intercepted. One, where they drove all the way down the field at the end of the first half, and you think you're going to come with points. And then he forces one that gets intercepted by Watt. A just brutal play right there, but and that's T.J. Watt, not J.J. And T.J. Watt's a really good player for the Steelers, who have a great front seven. And then made another critical mistake where he was pressured, and they had a long drive that was like maybe 7.5 minutes, all these plays, and it looked like they were going to go in and score. And instead, he just throws one up for grabs, and it gets intercepted. And it's a touchback, and that was the end of the game. So it was not a good, it was not the best game for Daniel Jones, even though he did find one of his favorite targets for a couple of big play, including a touchdown. But, you know, Darius Slayton could only do so much. Saquon Barkley couldn't do anything because the Steelers were keen on him. Every time Saquon Barkley got the football, guess what? He was behind the line of scrimmage. They could not block anything up. But that includes Andrew Thomas, the first-round pick. So they did not do a good job blocking up, and Saquon had nowhere to go. Loss of how going to be. That's what you have there. Still, I think some good signs from Jones. He still can make some of the throws, and by any stretch. But the game at the Bears was a winnable game this week. I know Trubisky pulled out a comeback against the Lions, who went into prevent mode, and I always say prevent mode will cost you games. So I'll be very interested to see what happens with that. So it'll be interesting. Certainly. So you got football back in full swing. That's encouraging news. Looks like the Big Ten's going to come back and play college football. So they'll be back in action. College basketball tentatively announced for the late November start off with team practices and stuff. Yeah, I'll be very curious to see how things work out there as far as that goes. Same thing with the NFL in terms of COVID. So I'll be very interested to see. Couple other things here that I wanted to touch on. I could touch on the Nuggets. How about the comeback that they made? 3-1 down against the Clippers, the heavily favored Clippers. They're supposed to be this new super team with Kawhi Leonard, former playoff MVP with the Toronto Raptors, getting them the championship. But I think that was a better cast. Now, when you have Kyle Lowry, he just remains so, I wouldn't say underrated anymore. I mean, he's putting together a Hall of Fame career. And he's a real point guard, plays great defense, improved his 3-point shot enough. He certainly is the glue of the Raptors when he fouled out in the 7th game against the Celtics. That was the end of the Raptors. As Fred VanVleet uncharacteristically chucked his balls off and just a couple of just terrible threes, one was blocked. Just very bad touch selection. But the Raps had a lot of supporting cast guys when they won last year. That included Kyle Lowry, included Kawhi Leonard. It also included Pascal Siakam. Let's take more of a leadership role. It's really hard to say. But, you know, of course, you have the Rocket debacle. It's the Lakers. And D'Antoni picked up and left. D'Antoni's system is just too flawed to work. That system just doesn't work. And they got killed on the boards by the Lakers and by Anthony Davis. So, yeah, they won the first game and then they lost 4 in a row. And the Lakers lost the first game against Portland also and won 4 in a row. I don't know. But they had nobody to match up with Anthony Davis. And Robert Covington had a terrible game. We have 5 points and 2 rebounds. And so that's what happens when you don't have a real interior presence. So, I mean, Capella was that. But D'Antoni put the ball too much in Harden's hands. Westbrook made no difference because Westbrook, he needs the basketball as well so he can create. And he can't shoot. So that's just a terrible fit. Harden didn't want to play with Chris Paul anymore. Chris Paul. Well, we should have. If you recall, Chris Paul almost took out the Rockets in the first round. I mean, we're a team that's not exactly a bumper. They almost wound up pulling it out. So I have no idea right now. But so you have the Lakers and the Nuggets are set up. The Nuggets rallying from huge double-digit deficits in games 3, 4, 5. So a collapse by the Clippers. When your best player is Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, who was just terrible. They just were not able to make any shots. And I thought Doc Rivers did a lousy job. Got out coached by Mike Malone. And Jamal Murray was brilliant. 40 points in game 7. A lot of big shots. And Jokic, how about Jokic? What a passing setter he is. Of the 13, what do you have? 13 assists. That, by the way, that's 7 or 7.5 more than any Knick has averaged. That's how bad the Knicks are. So, I don't know. Is there ever anything good to say about the Knicks? Don't answer that. All right. So, maybe one day. You know, of course, you have the Heat. We took care of the Milwaukee Bucks in 5 games. I just didn't think that was a good matchup for the Bucks. I'll tell you why. First off, Spoelstra is an excellent coach. Second, Jimmy Butler is a winner. Jimmy Butler is not afraid to take the big shot in a very pressure moment. You got to be able to make shots, and he did. He did it again to the Celtics in a great game 1, where he took the ball to the hole, threw a foul on Tatum, and got a 3-point play. I don't know how he did it. I think it's just his maturity is very strong. Tatum still got a good look at a 3-pointer after falling down. He was able to get the ball up and just missed. But it was to be, and the Celtics was down 1 game to none. With game 2 later this evening. So, that's your NBA story right now. Do you give the Nuggets a chance to totally upset? I'm looking for the upset. Same thing with the Denver Nuggets against the Lakers. So, we'll see what happens there. A lot of stuff going on right now. And I wish there was more to say, really. But there really isn't. I mean, you have the U.S. Open, of course. I think they did a really good job with the tournament, to be honest. I think it's really hard for those workers, those lines kids, those lines people to be wearing those masks. And, but they did a great job. And you had 2 really good champions worthy, Osaka on the women's side after coming back against Azarenka, who was in a similar situation against Serena Williams, where she was down big and kind of like after that. She took care of Serena Williams to advance to her 3rd U.S. Open final. Azarenka played very well. But after taking the first set 6-1, Osaka fouled her ground after being down a break. It was down 2-0. And she changed the match. So, and it was great to see, actually. But Osaka in the final against Azarenka, I mean, she didn't give up. She raised her level. She started making more shots and really picked up the tempo. And whatever was wrong with her, she was fine. So, yeah, I have to give So a lot of credit. In terms of Dominic Thiem, what an effort by him. We talk about a guy that's just so driven. And once Djokovic went out of the tournament after the unfortunate incident that happened where he smartly hung the ball off. So that was pretty crazy. But I don't know, I'm pretty tired tonight, to be honest. I call this the pass out late night show, and I'm not even going to make an hour. I'm really curious to see what happens with this game six between the Islanders and the Lightning. It's a lot of pressure on the Lightning. So they don't want to go to a game seven against the Islanders and Barry Trotz. That'd be the last thing that they want. It doesn't matter if they have Vasilevskiy. So my question is, you know, is Brayden Point going to return? Is he going to come back this game? Or are they going to hold him out again? I mean, they nearly got it done without him. He had enough chances. But I thought the Alves did a really great job in terms of the tight checking. So they did do a great job. So you have to give them full marks there. Team's comeback, though, against the Zverev was pretty special. Come back from two sets down. Zverev did the same thing against Karina Busta in the semifinals. And that was impressive, too. But he was just so focused after the way he lost the set. And figure it something out. So, I just think he competes really hard. And he's kind of like Ferrer. That he just doesn't give up. He doesn't know the word quit. This is not in his DNA. And I was very happy to see him actually come out on top. Zverev did pick up his level on the fifth set. So I'm really hoping that... I'm hoping Zverev will not let, you know, blowing that lead get to him, because he's definitely has the look of a guy that's going to win quite a few slams. Got that opportunity. So, but, you know, I mean, it's always interesting to see how these things pan out. Anything else I want to add? Not really. US Open golf actually got started at Wingfoot later today. So a lot of people will be following that, and they'll be into it. I just don't know what else I want to say, to be honest. So that's going to do it for this abbreviated program. And I wish you all a really good night, okay? And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Good night.